first chapter of Proverbs. If you'll please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to start reading at verse number 7. We're going to read verse 7 and 8 and verse 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again today for your wonderful, wonderful grace. It's been good to be in God's house today, and thank you for the souls that was saved this morning. Thank you for those precious people that our pastor and the church honored this morning. Thank you for them. And now, Father, again tonight, we need your blessings. We need your power and wisdom. You know the need of my life, Father, and I ask you, Lord, to fulfill that and give me that which I need to be a blessing tonight. And Father, help me and empower me as I preach the word of God. Heal our preacher, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The scriptures that I read to you are verses of scriptures that give us some very, very important instruction. If you will notice, he said it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Anytime you want to make a line, you have to start somewhere. You got to put a pencil down, and you have to start if you're going to make a line. God says the beginning of knowledge. If you're going to have knowledge, true knowledge, the beginning of that is the fear of the Lord. And he tells us in that also, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And he just makes it very plain. A person who will not receive instruction and wisdom, he said, is a fool. And that's what God said. I'm not calling anybody a fool. God is. And he simply makes it very plain. If we won't listen, we won't hear, we won't follow instructions, he said that individual is a fool. And then he goes on to tell us that, he said, my son, he gives him instruction, hear, he says, the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. I remember down through the years I've spoken and used that verse of scripture many times. The father is to give instruction on how the home should be run. He's to give instructions on what should be done. And then the mother, being in the home, usually makes it law. And he says the individual, the youth, should not ever forget the instructions of their father. And then the law of their mother, because the mother is there and she has to put the instructions that the father has given into and make it law. That's just plain teaching. Amen. And what he says to us then is, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. If I was standing up here, I do not wish to do that, but if I did have a chain around my neck, it would be very noticeable. You would notice that, and he said it would be an ornament of grace upon our head. If I had some kind of a crown or ornament or something on my head, you would all be sitting there looking and saying, he's got something on his head, and he's got a chain around his neck. And what God is saying to us is this, when the youth will listen to the instructions of a father and will make the instructions then law, the mother makes it law, it's like an ornament on your head and a chain around your neck. It's very evident in that child's life. It's very evident. And it's also very evident when it's not there. Very, very evident. So God is just teaching us some just plain, simple truths. And I know all across this country, we have got real problems in the lives of youth. We are blessed here. We understand that. We are blessed. We have some tremendous young people. And I'm so thankful for that and grateful for it. But let me tell you, as a whole, across this nation, many of the youth of this nation is a literal mess. And they need to get back to the Word of God and get back to following the instructions of their father and also the law of their mother. That needs to be done. And it'll be evident in their life when it is. There's very few, I would say, departments, youth departments in churches across America that are on fire for God today. Again, let me just say this. To have a youth department here where the young people, and we hear reports of, and I'm not sure the amount, but anywhere from 20 to 30 youth a lot of times go out on visitation on Wednesday and knock on doors and show people how to be saved is a tremendous, tremendous thing. You see that, you do not see that very often in churches. I know others do it, but I'm just saying, look around the community, this community, and tell me of the churches where youth are out knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus Christ. And yet, that is something that ought to be done. It's absolutely what they ought to be doing. So I do know this, there's a real, real problem in our youth today. And let me say to you, and let me say this first, I understand the problems, or at least most, I think, the problems that we have today in the rearing of children and the building of homes. I understand it's really a very serious thing and a very serious problem and difficult many times because of the culture that we are living in. It's very difficult. But let me say, most of the times, much of the time, the problems that develop in our youth today go back to the home. That's where it starts. It does not mean that everybody that has problems in the home has failed as parents. It does not mean that. Because as we'll look at just a moment, it goes back to things getting into the heart. You must get the heart. One man said the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. I believe that. I wrote a little saying in my Bible back, I'm going to say close to probably 38, 39 years ago, after I was called to preach. I read this somewhere. I do not that many years ago remember where I read it. But I copied it into my Bible in the front leaf of my Bible, and so I might share it with you. It says, when God lays hold upon the heart, and when the heart is taken, all is won. I wanted to always be reminded. It's not just trying to change a life through a force, or getting to do something that they ought to do. It's more than that. It must get down into the heart. And that's a lot of times with our youth. We teach them, we must. We train them, we must. And they obey many times. They obey, they should, and they must. But the determination of what they're going to be is going to be determined whether all of that training and teaching gets down into here. And it becomes theirs. Because it's not just what then no longer moms and dads, it is theirs. And I say, and I'm saying to you young people, it's important that there comes a point in your life where it's just not mom and dad telling you to do something and instructing you on how to do it and how you must live. But it comes to a point when it's down here in your heart. And when God has the heart, all is one. And that's the truth in adults also. It's adults in our churches. When you have an understanding and you follow the instructions that our preacher preaches, and we should, because he's teaching us the Bible. And it's good, it's right for you to do that. But when it becomes yours, when it gets here into your heart, is when it's really going to be settled with you. There's standards and there's things like that that we should have in dress standards. And many times the reason that they don't obey those or abide by those is it's never got here in the heart. Once it gets in the heart, you won't have any problem doing it. You understand? And I would take that in consideration. If you're having problem with things like that, you ought to realize that it hasn't ever got a hold of your heart. Because I'm still a believer in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do all to the glory of God. You see, it's not a matter, is it okay to do this or okay to do that? That's foolishness and that's childish. The matter is, what brings honor and glory to God Almighty? What would be the best thing for us to do so that we could bring honor to our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? So again, I say to you, the home, I'm going back to the home, is the cornerstone of our society, our nation. The home is what our nation and our churches depend on for strength and security. Do you understand that our homes is what, if they're not strong, our nation will not be strong. If our homes are not strong, our church will not be strong. We must build our homes. One man said, our churches will be tomorrow what we are training our youth to be today. And I believe that. You want to know what tomorrow Blessed Hope Baptist Church will look at? Look at our youth. Because they are tomorrow. And they will be tomorrow. You understand that? You understand it's why it's so important that I know our pastor does. And I've done it for many years. We stress the fact we've got to build these young people. And we got to build things into their life so it'll become their heart. Not just because they do it, because someone has instructed them to do it. It's got to become theirs. And so we have a desperate need for Bible-believing churches which will preach and practice the blessed truths of the Word of God. It's not enough just to preach it. It must be practiced. And it must be practiced in the adults so the young people can see it and use it as an example of what we should be, what they should be as they mature. Again, I'm saying, folks, we need old-fashioned Bible churches just like we've got here, Bible preaching churches, and you ought to thank God for it. You ought to be grateful for it. No one has said it's perfect. I haven't met a perfect church. I've been in a perfect church. If it was, I wouldn't join it because it wouldn't be perfect any longer once I joined it. But I am not saying anything about perfection. I'm talking about building and maturing in the Lord and doing things for God. Where are the leaders of tomorrow going to come from? We must have them. We have to have them. And let me say to you, I've over the years watched this thing, and God doesn't call his preachers from among worldly, cold, backslidden, sensuous, pleasure-minded Christians. God calls his preachers out of places where they're preaching the blessed book, the Word of God, and practicing it. And homes that are standing right for the things of God. That's where God reaches down and gets these people. I understand. Let me say to you, I understand. It's a tremendous thing when we see some bus family that just gets a hold of God and does for the Lord. And we see, as we've had here in the Hall family, you got a preacher out there. We got Lacey out here as a missionary and all these things. But let me say to you, that probably wouldn't have happened if the home had not been developed. I'm saying to you, because many times you get bus people. They're wonderful. Thank God for them. I don't know what we'd do if we couldn't reach them. But if their homes don't come along with them, you've got a real problem. Because what's going to happen is they get 18 years old and they just most of the time never show up anymore. I've witnessed this. Listen, folks, I've been around. I've been preaching for 40 years. I've looked at people in this community. We won them to Christ and brought them into this place. But their homes were not developed, and they're out there now. And you knock on their doors, but they're not in church. And what I'm saying is, we've got to. It's not just. We do want to get them saved. We have to get them saved, and thank God for eternity. But we've got to get into their homes and build their homes. And so I say to you, if we'll, I just want to look at one special thing tonight that I think that is helping to destroy the homes, and that's permissiveness. I'm going to just take a little time. I know that some of you have never heard of Benjamin Spock, but I'm old. I have. And Benjamin Spock was a man years and years ago, and the reason I'm using him is because he kind of started this liberalism of child raising. And the whole idea of his idea was that you bring up children without discipline. You don't have any discipline in their lives. And the idea was to let children just do whatever they want to do. And I better not get any amens. Amen. But that was the philosophy that this man wrote his book on, was just let children do whatever they want to do. This concept is as old as the devil himself. There was a man by the name of A.S. Neal. He wrote a book years ago called Summer Hill. Now, just let me give you, and I have a reason for giving you these things. In his book, these were some of the things that he not only suggested but proclaimed that it should be this way in the rearing of children. One of them was that adults have no right to insist on obedience from their children. No amens. But that was one of his philosophies. They have no right to do that. Another one was that children must be free to do whatever they want to do. Another one was that children and adults are equal, so one should not be over the other one. And another one was children should not be asked to work or get out of bed or do anything. I don't know about you, but when I was raised up, I wasn't asked to work. My daddy never asked me once to work. But I'd have been a sorry person if I hadn't have. You understand what I mean? But you see, that was the philosophy that some of these started years back, the liberalism in child raising. And another one of his foolishness was that religion should not be taught. And you know, it's a strange thing, because you still can go out there and knock on doors and you'll see a mom and dad or someone and say, well, I just don't want to force it on my children. It's not a matter of forcing it on your children. It's a matter of teaching them and training them the things of God. And another thing that he said was that God, heaven, and hell, and sin are all myths. Now, the problem of this is this. Back there years ago, society as a whole began to at least buy into some of those. They may not have bought into all of them, but they bought into a lot of them. And that philosophy began to spread across America, and so the training of children began to be something that was not godly or scriptural, but worldly, carnal. And I'm saying to you and I, we must get back to the training of our children in the way that God has instructed us to train them. And you know, the funny thing about this is it just shows rebellion, because the funny things about this is the ways of God and the teachings of the Lord and the training of children is a blessed thing and a wonderful thing. For young people to rebel against that is absolutely just shows the rebellion in their heart. Because it is a wonderful thing. God has set this all up in a precious, wonderful way. And so it is a right and proper thing for us to do. So I want to share with you one thing that our young people have really no concept today of what no means. No is something. We're going to expound on this just a little bit. But no is very seldom made to stand. Even though dads and moms and churches and police and even God himself says no, it really means very little. Because they have found out, parents have told them to do a lot of things, and yet it didn't really matter if they decided not to do it. There was no consequences. And I want to say something to you, and I hope you'll listen to this, you parents still raising your children. When you say no, mean it. Be very careful what you say no to. Listen to your children. Hear them. Rod and reproof gives wisdom. You want to give wisdom to your child, use the rod and reproof. Now, you're all going to sit there and say, boy, he wants you to beat your children. You know better than that. That's not what I want. I want you to use the rod correctly and properly, but use it. And as a child gets older, it takes more of the admonition, the more of the talking and training than it does the nurturing, the disciplining. You see, there's a place where it kind of switches. I might say something to parents just real quickly. Lord put it there, and I ought to tell you. A mama ought to be careful when their son gets up to an age of gets up into a teenage years. Because a teenage boy is trying to become a man. And it's hard for him to take the instructions from a female. Now just listen to me. It's hard and difficult for him to do that because he's trying to be a man and he's trying to assert his manship. That doesn't give him ever the right to treat her wrong or to not listening to her or not to obey her. But instead of talking down to him, talk to him. Talk to him. Explain to him. He must obey you, and well, he should. If he doesn't, I imagine Daddy would get involved. But let me say to you, it's just natural for a young man who's growing up to come to that place where he's trying to be a man. And he's learning how to be a man. You understand that? So I'm just saying to you, be careful. Don't hurt your child by doing things that forces them to rebel. Understand? So anyway, the rod and reproof, God says, gives wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he says, lo, this have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Folks, the natural man is not going to do right. Can I give you a thought? We raised four children, and never once did I ever hold a class on how to be bad. I did not ever have to have a class on how to get into trouble. They was well capable of that. Now I know, looking at them now, you wouldn't believe that, but and your pastor that stands up here, you wouldn't think he would. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And he had to be taught not how to be bad. He had taught how to be good. You have to train them how to do right. Amen. So I'm just simply saying to you folks, please, please, train your children. I know there's difficulty, but train your children, please. We've got to train dedicated young people so that they're one of these days they'll be leaders. And we need leaders. But we need good, godly leaders. We don't need leaders like we have some now. We need godly leaders, you see. And so to be leaders, they must know what no means. and understand that, you see. Let me give you a principle that you ought to shoot toward. I know little tiny children, they have to be trained. They don't have the understanding, and please remember that. Remember the age of your child. Don't expect them to act like an adult if they're not an adult. Don't expect them, if they are 5 years old, to act like they're 10 years old. You understand what I'm saying? But let me tell you something you ought to do. You ought to train them first time obedience. Now, this is important. How many times do you want to tell your child not to run out in front of a Mack truck? Would you like it to be one or two or three maybe times before they mind you? First time obedience is important. Children ought to learn that when they are told something, and as I said, remember their age, where they understand that they are told something, you should not have to ever tell them twice. See, you tell them twice, the first time is disobedience. They should be trained to understand that when you tell them something, they are to do it. They may not understand it. They may not agree with you, but that really doesn't matter. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because here again, do you know one of the reasons this old preacher, when God called me to preach and I understood that he wanted me to preach, do you understand one of the principles is of why I didn't say no? Because I had been taught, you do what you're told. And you ought to have to be told two times or three times to do it. So now listen, put this into practice with your child. They're old enough to understand, set them down and tell them, from now on, when I tell you something, I will think about what I'm telling you. I'm not just going to just off my head just holler at you and scream at you. When I tell you to do something, you are to do it then. Not later, then. You're not going to have to be told again. That's one of the great principles that will help them so much in life. Okay? See, we've got to train our children. First time obedience. If you don't mean no, don't say no. Okay? If you say no, mean it. Amen? You see, now, I'm going to say something, I'm going to close, but I want to say something to the parents. Parents, don't ask your children to obey if you won't. You want to ask your children to obey and you won't obey God. If you want your children to live a godly life, you live a godly life. No, you're not perfect, I know, but you live a godly life. You set an example for those children. And you show forth that you are obeying God. And you're expected to obey your parents. Amen. So let me say something to you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Parents, teach your children to be obedient and good, precious children, that one of these days when they grow up, you can be thankful and grateful for who they are and what they've become. Amen. Father, thank you again today for your grace and your goodness and your kindness. I know parenting is not an easy thing. I understand that. So I ask you for your grace and mercy for these dear parents and for these precious children that one day, Lord, they're going to be adults. And they're going to be, to much degree, what they've been trained to be. So I ask you, Father, please, to help us as a people to just do right. And I'll thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.